Hello.
Love Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Listen live as we discuss the Punch TV Studios IPO 2.0, funding for your film, acting in film and television, new affiliate stations, and all things Punch TV Studios. Meet the stars of your favorite Punch TV Studios film and television shows and find out how you can be a part of the company that is revolutionizing media. Call 657-383-1974 and join in on the conversation. And now your host, Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins. And I am your co-host, Sharifa Hardy, and it is an amazing day. It's an amazing day to be amazing. So before we go too much further, I'd like to introduce our co-host, A Bottle of You and A Bottle of You for Me. Good morning, good afternoon, how are you?
Good morning. How you doing today?
I'm fine. How you doing?
It's just the two of us.
We have a wonderful show today, and so as always, we invite you to tell a friend and let them know that Changing the Conversation is live on the air. So post it on your Facebook, tweet it out, text a friend, call a friend. Go over there and knock on your neighbor's door and let them know Changing the Conversation is live on the air. Okay? I'm going to give you a couple of seconds. Okay. Now, if you're listening to the show on the line and you love to join the conversation, please press 1. If you want to jump into the punch bowl, if you're listening to the show on your computer and you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 657-383-1974. Again, that number is 657-383-1974. And make sure to press 1 so we know you want to be in the punch bowl with me, A Bottle of You, and A Bottle of You for Me. So who's in the punch bowl this morning?
Well, this morning we have a very strong and determined and wonderful woman, Miss Christina McNeil, and she's going to tell us a story of survival that most probably could not go through. And I cannot wait to have Miss McNeil on the punch in the punch bowl today.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, okay. Miss Christina McNeil. Are you with us in the punch bowl?
Yes, I am, ma'am. I'm right here, and I'm just waiting to tell my story to everybody what I'm going through, and hopefully it will help anybody who went in my shoes, what I'm going, still going through. And I just want to make a thing, never give up about your dreams and hopes and stuff, because there's a lot of people who are haters, and they don't like you and stuff, and they're just trying to pull you down, and I would say never give up your things, okay? And that I'm a strong woman and stuff, and I'm still surviving, and I'm still standing over here. I'm letting everybody know that that nobody's going to pull me down, no matter what they've taken from me and they have robbed me and stuff. But I am still continuing, and I'm still right here with my family. It's even more stronger. So I'm letting you guys know about it.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. I hear the emotion in your voice, and I want to make sure that I understand correctly, because there's so much emotion and so much passion. I just want to make sure. So right now, are you mm-hmm. currently homeless right now?
Yes, ma'am. I am currently homeless
oh, wow.
and stuff. I am right
oh,
here
wow.
with a 17-year-old daughter and my husband and I. And we have a hate crime, and I don't know who this person is doing things to us and trying to put us down. And I have destroyed my house, my RV. They have stolen my car. They have taken everything from me. But my family is still together. It's still there. You understand? And nobody's going to put me down, because I am going to succeed in my dreams. And I'm not letting nobody step on that, no matter what. I had
nobody
tell you my story.
I will tell you my story that me and my husband were in a shelter, okay, and there was a lady who was up there. This lady was a harasser, was harassing my husband day and night. She was going through her windows. She was breaking inside the bathroom when my husband was taking a shower. I said to the house of Ruth, 4 months, this person has been going over there and harassing my husband and my family. And I told this lady, please stop bothering us. You know, she could find some good man. And while she came to me, I went to the kitchen to go cook and stuff. She said that I had a knife, that I had threatened her. That is not true. That was false accusations. The cops came where I was, okay, and they came with guns and everything. They took me and my husband in jail, and they put my daughter in DPS. They took social worker came and took my daughter away from me when I was in jail for 3 days, and my husband was in jail in 7 days. Okay, we almost got kicked out of the place where we were staying, okay? Not only that, but we came back and they told us that we have to go for classes, domestic violence, drugs, you name it. We had to go to court to do all these things because of this woman, okay? Not only that, it happened that they had to separate my husband and me and my daughter because we had to go to these classes, and we continued going in classes. We had social workers coming in. We've been going and doing all these things, okay? But people are trying to sabotage what we're doing successfully. We're trying to succeed to get our family all together, all right? My husband was on one side, and me and my daughter were in the house of Ruth. Was over there by Boyne Heights, by the way. And these people continue bothering us and following us everywhere we went, okay? Everywhere I went, shopping and going to school for my daughter, they will not leave us alone. 6 or 7 cars. Okay, we bought an RV. Me and my husband were trying to move for us to go forward in our life and stuff. I don't know who did this, but they sabotaged my RV. And when they sabotaged my RV, they just controlled my RV. And I told my husband regarding this. And I couldn't go to sleep because this person was bothering my husband so much. I didn't know who it was, but I keep hearing things right there, knocking on our door in the middle of the night. I mean, this person was making it very freaky and scary for me and my family, okay? I had to move the RV someplace else, park it over there, and those cars continue following me. I don't know who these people are. When I know and I told my husband regarding all this, this car, it was, like, messed up already, the RV. His vehicle was not working proper, okay? I told my husband regarding how this thing was going to explode because I was smelling it really funny smell. I called the fire department to go over there and check it out. They didn't do nothing about it. I told him, you know what, baby, you had to get out of there. This thing is going to explode. My husband didn't believe me because he thought that because of a couple of days I did not go to sleep regarding how this. And I told him regarding this. And my husband goes, you know what? You need to rest. Probably I need to lock the door from the outside and you can go to sleep. I said, don't do that. I'll close it myself. He told me, go to bed and I'll go pick up my daughter and pick up all our stuff, the last things that we had to go in our RV that we can move out. I said, okay, you go over there. I'll lock it from inside, okay? I did close the door and everything. So I went and go to sleep. I don't know, out of nowhere, there's a fire right there where the passenger, but where you drive in, it starts getting in fire. Not only on that, but with smokeology, it catches really fast all the way to the kitchen where the stove is. Okay, I try to get out of there because I'm seeing smoke all over the place. They catch it really fast. I don't know how, but I'm glad that my husband was not there and my daughter was not there at the time. All right, I try to break out of the door and open the windows. I couldn't go out because that thing was stuck. I hurt my arms and my legs really bad. Get out of that place so fast because it was catching on fire. I think somebody or a hater or a crime, I don't know what it is, but they're trying to kill us.
You understand? We are afraid of our lives. And I called the police and everything, and we had an investigator. They're not doing anything regarding this. And I am really tired, you know, of people trying to sabotage what we have created so much. I mean, we're not going to stop. That's what I'm going to tell everybody. And Skid Row, whoever it is, let me say something to you. You're not going to stop. We're family, we're strong, and we're going to be together no matter what. And I am going to be here with my husband no matter what, and my daughter too. And we're going to succeed in our dreams. Now, another thing happened a few days later. These people followed me all over the place. They put lies on me. My husband was not at the time with me, okay? Me and my daughter were driving in there, parked the car someplace else. They even took my car. Imagine that. They have taken my car too. They have left me with nothing. They took my RV. They catch it on fire. My car was stolen. I'm going through a lot of stuff, and I'm staying in a place safe right now, because in the place where I'm staying, I am not safe there no more. You understand? And I'm just letting you what I'm going through. So please see if you guys have anything for me, and you guys can help us out regarding this. Yes, we are homeless. And that's part of my story, and this thing is still continuing right now. So that's all I can say right now.
Wow. Your honesty and your humbleness and your sheer will to survive is amazing. It definitely is. Let me just say this to you. First of all, I've been homeless. I've been homeless at least twice. And that's something that some people like to hide. But I take great pride in it because I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. Everything that I've done is because I refuse to give up. And I see that same fighting spirit in you. And it's that mother in you, that instinct that wants to keep her family together. So what we're going to do is we'll see whatever we can do to be of support, to help you. What is your dream? What is your vision? What is that burning desire that keeps you going? What is it that you want to do?
What I want to do, hold on just a moment. What is that?
Baby.
Well, what I want to do in my life, honestly, I want to make a movie about my story, about my life, what I'm going through. And you understand? And I want to make that happen. I want to have a home for my family and stuff, get my things back together in life, and make my story of my life, what I'm going through, honestly. Because this is tough, honestly. It's Skid Row is really tough. And I didn't have no silver spoon myself, honestly. I was brought up with my grandmother and stuff, with good values and stuff. I'm not a bad person. I'm a mother. I'm a homemaker and stuff. And when I want to succeed to do my dreams, I go and work right at it, you know. I don't give up, no matter what. My dad is a very good student. My dad is a very good student. My husband helps. Well, if anybody helps, to help us out, I'll find a place that we could go and make a movie. I mean, make a movie about our lives, a TV show that will be alive in our lives, that way people can see where we're going, you know. And I don't want nobody to go through where I went through, you understand? Because there's a lot of people who are haters up there and jealous of you, people who just want to destroy your life, but that thing's not going to happen because I'm still strong and I'm being right here with my family and I want to work so hard, you understand? That's what I want. I want us to have a home. I want to work and stuff, entertainment or shows, no matter. That's what I want. You know, my husband is a very good man. And he's right here. I'll pass him to you.
I'm talking about you, honey. You've got yourself stuck by yourself.
Well, now you know about my story. And
yeah, but I mean, it's so much more than that. And one of the things that I heard you touch on was that you're a filmmaker. And that's why you wound up in the punch bowl, because our CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins, he actually has a new book that's coming out this week, and it talks about how he was on Skid Row, literally, not figuratively, but literally in Los Angeles, and he just refused to give up. And so now he's the CEO of two public companies and multi-million dollar companies, but is because he wouldn't give up, you know, and that's what really makes a success story. And that's his vision that God gave him, was to make movies about the lives of ordinary people that would never have gotten told, you know what I mean? And so your story, your life are one of the things that we're actively looking for when we go into production for movies. But I just want to ask, so I'm clear, not to get too much into your personal business, but is what you're going through related to the storms that are happening right now, or is this completely unrelated?
This is unrelated.
Life just gives us struggles. It's not because you're a bad person. You know, I always, one of the things I'll tell you is that one of the times when I lost everything, and hear me when I say I lost everything, the only thing that I had was the clothes on my back. And you know what I said? I was like, okay, devil, you must really be trying hard to stop me, because the people who the devil tries to stop are the ones that have this blessing that's going to change the world. So, yes, sometimes we wonder, like, okay, this doesn't happen to other people, or am I a good person, or I'm a bad person? But the good people are the ones that everything comes up against to try to stop, because there's a blessing for you at the end. And when you get to this other place, when you see your life that's completely different, you'll be able to understand why you went through all these things, and you'll be able to help people, and you'll be able to talk to people. And when those people come to you, you know what they're going to say? They're going to say, you're rich. You have money. You have houses, and you have cars, and you have a wonderful husband. You would never understand what I've gone through. So we go through all these things because we can relate to other people. So your story is not even for you, it's for other people. It's for your daughter to be able to look at a strong woman who never let anything stop her. Yeah, we get down in that moment, but you have to keep your head high. You have to keep believing, because there's a blessing out for you. Claim the filmmaker in you. While you're going through all of this, get your, you know, tell your story, write your story, film your story, because these are the things that one day you're going to want to have these pictures and want to have these memories for what you're doing.
Yes, ma'am. You guys can give me a hand regarding all this. Can you guys help me to, you know, do the film set? I like it. What could I do? What are the resources for me to make a film regarding my life and story? Can you help us out? Give me more information about this, and I would love to make
absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. What it would start with is just you. You know, maybe I don't know if you even have a notebook or something that you might want to just start writing and detailing those different things. You know, if you have your camera. Because we're going to produce over 300 new feature films and television shows. We're always looking for incredible people to be able to tell those stories. Because it's not about the movies, it's about the people. I don't know if you had the opportunity to see Hidden Figures, the movie. Did you check that out?
No, I have not, but you can give me more information regarding that. I would love to do that, honestly. If you can give me a chance to do that, yes, I would love to do that. Help me in that part, I would be grateful.
You know, incredible people who you would never have thought that they have, you know, these stories. So that's what it's all about, is just being able to take whatever lemons that life has handed you and make lemonade out of them, and stay positive and stay together, and definitely stay prayed up, because I'm definitely going to say a prayer for you during the show, after the show, and just knowing that your situation is temporary. And that's what usually happens, is people go through a temporary season and they think it's permanent and they give up. It's temporary. Mm-hmm. In time, this too shall pass. So we just have to go each day and look at all the beautiful things and all the beautiful aspects of that day. You know, because I remember growing up, my dad would always tell me, you know, when I think about the man with no shoes, then I think about the man with no feet. And then when you think about the man with no feet, you think about the man with no legs. And my dad would take this poor little man until this man was only a skull. Because the message is, no matter what you're going through, there's somebody who has a worse time. So we just have to appreciate the things that we have, no matter what it looks like. Because you know what you have that half of America would die for?
Hello?
Yes. Do you know what you have that? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Can you hear? I said, do you know what you have that the majority of America would die and kill for and all the haters want?
Yes. What is it?
You have family.
Yes, I
you
do.
Have family. And that's the most love is the essence.
Yes, it is true. That's the biggest question than anybody will have, family who are strong, and they are willing not to give up their hopes and dreams. What we wanted is to have our own house, a place to stay, and to be happy, to be normal, you know, to have a very good life and, you know, decent. But hopefully, you know, I need help to get a place and stuff. We're right now, yes, we are homeless and stuff. And
well, there
we
are
only
resources. There are
you
resources,
know?
And there are definitely resources surrounding us and a bottle of youth and a bottle of youth for me. We've spoken to different people who had agencies, different people who help people. So we're definitely going to tap into our resources to see what we can do for you. But the only thing that I just ask is that you just stay prayed up and that you hold on to your family, because at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. Stay together. One day you'll get the house. I mean, you'll get the white picket fence. And after a while, you'll go, okay, it's just a house. You know what I mean? It's just a house.
Yeah.
It's just material things. And material things, they come and they go. You know, the blessing is family. Love is the essence of what God is. And if God is there,
God
he always says, if these two stand in agreement, I am the third. So you have your husband, you have your daughter, and I know, and if nobody else knows, I'm knowing it for you, that this will pass. This is temporary. So we're going to see, and we're going to look at all our resources to see what we can do to be of assistance to you, to see what we can do to make your dreams come true
as far as the filmmaker. What state is Ms. McNeil in?
I'm going to stay in California. I'm right here in California, sir. Right here in downtown.
Where are you in California?
We are right here in McCarthy Park. Is that us, baby?
No,
tell me, baby. 906 South Alvarado right now. That's where we are right now.
Oh, so you're in downtown Los Angeles.
Yes. We're right here in the, and what's the name of the
American Best Value Inn, paid by 211.
The best American Best Value?
No, American Best Value Inn, paid by 211.
Yes, you heard my husband.
American's Best Value Inn.
Yeah, but 201 paid for a one-night voucher for us.
Yes. Because what we're going through, because of these people not leaving us alone, so we couldn't go there and have to lose money because we're let me say something to you. People have gone over there in the place where I was staying. They have broken those windows to break inside where we were, you understand? But I have seen other things, too, that I haven't said in there, but I would like to make a movie for you to know what I'm going through. I think this is bigger. And they know all these things. I understand. These people are trying to break inside that place where I've been, so I don't feel safe up there no more, you understand? And I am really afraid because I have a daughter and everything, and my husband, and I don't want nothing to happen to them, you understand? Well,
right, you keep saying these people. Ms. McNeil, you keep saying these people. You'd be referring to maybe gangs or something like that?
I don't have no idea what it might be. I don't know.
Because we are a person who don't
don't have nothing related in your brain from nothing whatsoever.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Reason why I was asking, because I used to be in law enforcement, and I know out there in California and in a lot of different neighborhoods, it's really hard to live in certain neighborhoods, even if you do keep to yourself, because of the different environments and drug activities and gang members that are out there. Because, I mean, it's to the point where you can't even wear certain colors just to be feeling good about yourself throughout the day, because those colors might infringe on someone else's turf. And so that's why I was asking those questions, because I understand it is pretty hard to live in the L.A. region, if you're in the wrong size of town because of those reasons. So I was just curious to see what type of elements you were talking about that was really interfering with you guys, prospering in life and being happy.
Okay. Well, I have something to say, but then I probably cannot say it on the radio, but something that I heard that I should not be hearing before, and these people see me that I heard it, and it's something about probably one crime on some, but I walked out of that and stuff, and I don't know if this is happening right now. But I am really afraid, because this is serious. I mean, what I heard is very serious, sir. And I'm really scared, honestly, because these people were talking about
what I would advise. What I would advise in that situation, I wouldn't really discuss too much, publicly, because you don't want to put your own family at harm in any way. But I would document everything, and you can get the information to us, and we'll try to see what we can do. If I know something about that area, or if I can find someone in that area that might be able to assist you guys, that way, once you do get back into a home, you don't feel threatened. But until that point, you guys just be safe, and you continue taking care of your family and loving your family and staying prayed up, and everything's going to work out.
But I think the situation is a little more bigger than that, because you know what? I have heard something that I'm supposed to be hearing up there, and I heard those people talk about it and stuff, and I was in the wrong time at the wrong place when I heard that. And it's right there in that neighborhood where I was staying right there. You understand? And I think that's the reason they're doing all these things too. I don't know who are these people. I only saw one person, one woman, okay? I only seen her only one time and half the way. The other two people I did not know. But it might be gang-related, all these things. Might be, sir. I don't have no idea. But I don't have no gang problems or anything whatsoever. But the situation that I'm going through, I mean, this is really deep. And for them to destroy my RV and for them to take my car away and all these things, this is very serious. What are they going to take next, you know?
That is called witness intimidation, and that's why I said, we can discuss some of these things one-on-one, and I will help as best as I can, to kind of steer you in the right direction. Like I said, definitely stay prayed up, definitely keep in contact with all resources that you have there in your area. I don't know who you've reached out to yet. We're going to do what we can on our end to see if we can connect you with some folks that can help out. But definitely, as far as any type of activity that's been going on in your area, I would kind of keep it to yourself until you're talking to the right people. You don't want to talk to the wrong people in that particular situation. If that's what you believe is going on, and if you believe it's kind of a retaliation from what you've heard, within the neighborhood, you have to protect your family first.
Exactly, and that's what I'm trying to do, sir. You understand?
Yes, ma'am. You continue loving your family. Everything's going to work out.
Yes. But I still want to make a movie regarding my life and story about a victim, because I think everybody should know about all these things. You understand? What I'm going through is really deep and stuff, but I'm not going to give up my hopes and dreams. You're trying to sabotage my classes, where I'm going and everything. I mean, but it's not going to work, because I'm not going to give up. and I'm still going to do all these things because I need to have my family back together again strong. And I'm not going to get intimidated. I have to go to court regarding all these things, you know, to have my family back because of these things. Now, I don't know if it's related with the lady that I just told you, you know, related about the gangs. But all this is accumulating a lot of hassle on me right now, and I cannot go back to hospital because I'm really afraid of my life. They have destroyed the window in the back where my daughter is sleeping up there. They were trying to pull that window out of there. They're trying to do something up there, you understand? You know, I don't feel comfortable, and I do not sleep, believe me, because I am really afraid of that stuff. I called 211.
Did you file police reports for the RV and the stolen vehicle?
Yes. For the RV, I did. I do have I did.
Okay.
I did. Mm-hmm. I have to go to the police station to get my card. Yes.
Okay. But that keep us informed with what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know about our social media site, nabuki.com, NABUKIE.com?
Oh, hold on. Can you repeat that again?
Nabuki, NABUKIE.
Hold on. Okay. Can you send it?
I sure will.
Okay.
Yes, I have his email address.
Okay. The email that you have.
Oh, I already have your email. You want me to send it to the email you sent me?
Yes. Oh, good.
Yes.
Yeah, if you can
send it to me, please.
Yes, I will do.
Yes. Do you think you guys can help us
out? We'll
pay rent or anything, you know. We just need to get out of here.
How many are y'all in total?
Four.
We're three of us and we have a puppy.
Yes, our puppy's
not
with
us anymore.
Puppy's
not
with us. Yeah, that puppy's over there afraid of. I haven't seen him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I am so glad that you called in to show your bravery, to show that you aren't scared to speak out against those who do you wrong.
Yes.
That's something that don't normally happen. A lot of folks are too afraid, especially to call into a radio show and speak about something like this. I consider you guys to be very, very brave.
Thank you.
And I'm proud to have spoken to you guys.
Hopefully you guys. My husband said that he would like to see you in person.
Shake your hand.
Is he tall enough? I would love to shake his hand. I'm gonna have to bend down and reach.
We're so family.
And what's your nationality?
I'm Central American. My husband's from South Dakota. My husband's from South Dakota. I'm from South Dakota. I was born here.
How did y'all work that one out? That's pretty far away from one another, isn't it?
We knew each other for 3 days before we got married. Now we've been married for a year now.
Wow. Wow. So you had to find yourself a Southern girl because you was from South Dakota?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, I am really sorry to hear through the struggles. I'm so glad to speak to you, sir. I was telling your wife, it takes a lot of bravery to do what you guys are doing and to keep the family together no matter what. And that's all that counts, is that you keep your family together, you keep the love flowing, and everything else from that point will work out.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So I know myself, my wife, a bottle of youth for me and a bottle of youth, I know we'll be in touch with you. Sharifa, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
trying to work and go to five pots a week.
You say what now?
Caregiver for
people
downtown. I am a caregiver.
Clergyman?
I work for IA Church Health. In-home supportive services.
Oh, in-home supportive services?
Yes. I've been doing it for 5 years now.
Oh, you're a clergy. That is so wonderful to give back like you do. We need more people like you.
I'm trying to go to school to be a
kid doctor.
Oh, that would be great.
You want to be a pediatrician?
Yes, I do. I like kids.
I like
kids. Bring the life to life.
Well, the aspiration to be a doctor, we always need good doctors. We always, talk a lot about the children that we've raised and all the different doctors they've met and the ones they like and didn't like. So, pediatricians are definitely needed. I wish sometimes some of the community hospitals focused more on the children and kept the adults in adult hospitals and the children in the children hospitals so they can be children.
Definitely.
I think a lot of times, they might have one or two.
I'd like to try.
Mm-hmm. So what steps have you taken to start or continue that dream?
I need to push the exams and the clinicals in school.
Mm-hmm. What school?
I'm already enrolled in school, but they told me that I can hold it put on hold until I get everything situated.
Mm-hmm. What school is this that you're enrolled in?
ATC is in Huntington Park.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a technical college.
Mm-hmm. It's just great that you guys are still, continuing education, throughout the struggles that you've had. A lot of times people give up because they've reached the struggle and they stop wanting to educate themselves or stop growing, knowing that growth is what's going to make things better for their family. And I'm proud to hear that you're still continuing with that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you guys, y'all just still remain strong and you support your wife. She really came out and spoke out for you guys and sought help for her family and her husband. So you got yourself a good woman there. You hold on to her and take care of her so she can take care of the kids.
You can go
back to school so you can take care of everybody else's kids.
Yeah, let me get our place now. Just on the way on our feet. I just want to get working on my movie about my wife.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm about to find a movie for the dog too.
I want to make the movie
so
regarding
dog,
all the things
gone
through.
Mm-hmm. Have you had problems finding places to stay with your dog?
Yeah, it's kind of hard for us to find a place to have puppies.
Mhm.
Yes. And we're really looking
forward. I tell you what, today has been a very, very interesting show. I know it has caught me emotionally off guard. I didn't expect to be feeling like this, at the. Yeah, it's not. I'm not gonna say it's nice to be able to hear other folks' struggles. But what I would say is it's nice to be able to hear folks not be scared to speak about their struggles.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well,
yes,
we all have struggles.
We all have struggles.
Yes. And it's kind of hard, but you know what? We have to go on. Life goes on and stuff. And we have a God in our hearts and stuff. And we have encouragement to do or things. Well, we could continue, But I told my husband since last night, I'm going to make a movie regarding what I'm going through. And I have seen folks that have done this as movies. And I want to do something like that. Yeah. That way people will not be intimidated or be afraid. Because you know what? You have to do what you have to do to survive with your family and keep it stronger. Don't give up your dreams. and your hopes. Why? I've been in Skid Row. I've been there. I've been homeless and stuff. But that's not going to stop me to make my dreams because other people are jealous or they just plain envy us or anything like that. I don't care. My life is going to be right here with my family. And the gold, the best treasure that I have is family and love. And this is going to be for a long time. And I'm telling you, that's the biggest treasure that I have. Material things don't matter to me. But family is the biggest treasure of all, for all of us. I'm telling you right now. And that's what I love. And all right now, what I'm dreaming, my hopes and dreams is to get a place for us, my family and stuff, and for me to make my movies and stuff about my family, about the show, and tell them all the experience that I went through, all these things. You know, no matter what is going on up there, it's not going to stop me who I am and the person that I am going to become in the future, you understand? And that's what I want to do. I want to do films. I want to do that. I want to do entertainment. And my husband wants to work. He wants to go to college. He wants to be a doctor. My daughter right here, she wants to be a, what was it, designer, what was it that Julie wanted to say? What was it, Jess?
Who?
Medicine, that she wanted to go to school.
She wants to be a musician.
She wanted to become a musician, too, you see. She wants to be a game designer and a writer, you see. So we have goals in this. We want to do things, and we're going to continue doing that. Right now, we're in a tight situation and stuff, and we need your help, you know? And we don't have no other place to go and stuff. So I want you guys to know all these things while we're going through. Hopefully, you guys can help us out in some way, you know? I really appreciate it for you guys to listen what we had to say and stuff. And thank you. Thank you for your time. I really do. And
we're going to take care. Go ahead and join us on the bookie. NABUKIE.com, and we're going to see what we can do to support you in your dream and to support you in everything that you're doing. We appreciate your time. We appreciate you being so honest and so open and so vulnerable because, you know, that's just shows someone with a true heart. So we thank you. We thank your husband, your daughter, your family, and we just ask you again to stay prayed up because God doesn't make mistakes. So thank you for joining us on today's episode of Changing the Conversation. We greatly appreciate you.
Okay, thank you very much. And you have guys have a wonderful day and have a blessed day.
You too as well.
Okay.
Wow, what a show, what a show, what a show, what a show. All our shows are different. All of our shows are unique. That's one thing about Changing the Conversation on Punch with Punch TV Studios is because we have a lot of different conversations. You won't hear the same old, same old here on Changing the Conversation. What you'll hear here is the real. We bring you the truth. We bring you the live information as is happening. So don't ever think that someone is unimportant or their problems are not important enough for us to join us in the Punch Bowl because we have been there. Mr. Collins has been there. I have been there when the only thing I had was faith. Everything else was gone. Everyone else was gone. And all I had was my faith and my belief in God for a better day. And I'm one of those people that can bear witness and testify that there will come a better day. So a bottle of you, the bottle of you for me. I see we're having those feedback problems today, but talk to us for a minute. We'll give you the floor for a couple of minutes. What do you think of today's show?
Well, sorry about the feedback. We were having trouble hearing her, so I did have to slide it over to the speakers on a vehicle just to be able to hear a whole lot better. But that was a very, very, very interesting conversation and touching, very touching. You know, it caught me off guard. You know, I don't normally get choked up by much. And I think when I started understanding and truly what she was explaining and then also hearing the fear in her voice, and that's the thing. It's different from just being scared. It's different from, you know, having a tough day or, you know, being on the street, you know, homeless. I've never considered myself to be homeless, even when I did stay in a hotel, you know, in between homes. I think homeless a lot of times is a state of mind, you know, because you can. I've seen people who don't have a home, and they don't feel homeless, you know. And she doesn't feel or sound homeless. She sounds broken because of what they've done to keep her away from her home and to keep her away from having a vehicle, you know, whether it be RV to live in or car to ride around in. And I think a lot of times stories like this don't come to light. Stories like this don't get heard. A lot of times people don't care stories like this. And I think these stories are very, very, very much pertinent in our society. I think these stories are daily.
Witness
in our society.
Intimidation is daily.
Yes, and witness intimidation is serious. Yeah, that's why I spoke a little bit with her about that, because when you do live in neighborhoods that are gang-related, the intimidation comes from your neighbors. It comes from people in storefronts, because you don't know who's watching you. You don't know who those members are out on the street and who they have watching you. Just like police officers have informants, drug dealers have informants, gang members have informants. So it's not necessarily easy to commute in communities and know the full story of who's actually watching you and to feel safe at the same time. And when you start finding things happen to you like that at your home and you can't explain it, but people you know in the neighborhood know what's going on, but they're not saying anything, and then that's where you start realizing that there's some type of intimidation going on, because even those people who you might have lived next to daily for 2, 3, 4, 5 years or all your life don't even want to tell you what's going on.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree, and I agree with what you said about being homeless as a state of mind, because when I was homeless, people were telling me, Sharifa, you're not homeless. I'm like, okay, but I'm sleeping in a hotel with crackheads. Okay, next door, and it was an experience, because what was so funny to me was that the crackheads was coming to check on me. They would knock on the door, and they would say, they didn't know my name. They, you know, I didn't communicate with the people, but they was like, we ain't seen you in a couple of days. You okay in there? And I was like, yeah, I'm okay, you know. But I was like, I literally, like, I don't even know what the word for it. Like, I hid. I went and I prayed, you know, because that's what the prophets did. They went to the mountains and they prayed. So this hotel for me was a place where no matter what was going on outside, it was a one little room hotel. I had my little hotel vouchers, and it was a bed, and that was literally it. It was just a bed, and I always have, even today, I have these two blankets, a blanket and a comforter, that when you know, it's like my symbol of being homeless, that I won't let anybody get. I'm like Linus now with my blanket. People can't get rid of them, because they symbolize that when I lost everything, all my clothes, everything that I lost, I had these blankets, and I didn't want to sleep on these hotel beds, you know, because I'm bougie, and I'm the only person I tell people I'm broke and bougie. I don't know how that goes, but I wasn't going to sleep on these things, so I put my comforters and my blankets over it, and I just got on the bed, and I just prayed. I'm like, Lord, because I'm here, I know that there's a purpose for my life. I know that you didn't bring me this far only to bring me this far. I mean, this is just a path on my journey. And while everybody else was going on in their world, and I could hear people walking up and down, and the people knock on the door asking me questions, I would just sit in my bed, and I would pray, and people would say, Sharifa, you weren't homeless. I'm like, okay, first of all, I was in the hotel, but second of all, to me, homeless means that you don't have a home. I'm not a homeowner. I never owned my own home. Even now, my house in Long Beach that I love and I'm so grateful for, got a two-bedroom home in Long Beach, but it's still a rental property. I don't own, you know, my own home. So to me, that's why everything that we're doing at Punch TV Studios is so important, because it's about home ownership. It's about generational wealth.
and creating jobs for people, because it always brings us back to, you know, everything's going on in the world, but what is the root of the problem? And the root of the problem is you have so many people who are unhappy, and they're unhappy because they're hungry. You know, people talk about Trump and all the Trump supporters and how Trump, it being in office, has allowed people the freedom to say whatever's on their mind. It allowed the racists and the people who just hate everyone else to come out openly and hate everybody else. And I still go back to, even with these people, those people are unhappy because they're hungry. They're Caucasian people. They're people who are not of the minority, but these people have the same problems that everybody else has. And when you're hungry, that's when you divide. They divide and conquer, because they're saying, you know what, you're hungry, but you're still better than those other people. So you come over here with us and hate these people because you're still better than those people. But when people are full, when people are happy, when people are employed, that's when America unites and we come together. Just like in all these different storms and everything that's going on, we had your son, a young man, and one of the things that he was saying is, like, you don't want to have a natural disaster. You don't want to have lost lives. We lost a lot of lives in Houston. We lost a lot of lives, you know, in Irma. But what happens in any tragedy, we talked about that on 9/11, in any tragedy, what the beauty of that tragedy, if any, was or is that people come together. They don't look at that person as a white person. They don't look at that person as a black person, Hispanic person, Asian person. That's just a person. And I tell the story, one of the things that happened in my life, my first job out of high school was working for Trans World Airlines. I was 18 years old, and I was working in reservations. And then I got promoted to customer service supervisor. So I was one of the people who took the phone calls from TWA Flight 800 that blew up over New York City. So I talked to the families of the victims that we lost on that plane, and there was a school. I believe it was, my memory is bad now, but it was a school. I know that much. I don't know if it was a high school or whatever it was, but it was their graduation trip, and this whole class got together, and they were flying to New York City, and the plane blew up over New York City. And I tell people, it's bad enough when you lose someone's luggage, but when you lose someone's child, to be able to talk to people and know that there's nothing that you can do to bring their child back. You can't go to the lost child department. There's nothing that you can do. So all you can do, and as a child, 18, 19 years old, I'm speaking to these families and letting them know that we were, you know, and then we had to convince these people to get on another plane, another TWA plane, to go to New York City, you know. And what changed me, and to this day it changes me, and you guys probably see it, but you don't know why, is because ever since that day, after we did the trauma and everybody talked to us, the one thing that I took away from that experience was everyone that was in my circle, I would tell them, I love you. I love you. Like, they'd be like, my kids, I'd be like, baby, I love you. And they'd be like, Mom, I'm going to the grocery store. I'm like, I don't know, but you never know when it's the last time. So I always tell people, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Because there were so many people in September 11th. There were so many people on that flight. I spoke to people personally who they left on bad terms, you know, that they have had arguments, and then they got on that plane. So you never want to leave anyone on bad terms. You just want to love people. And I'm going to, today I'm touched emotionally, so I'm going off on one of my, soapboxes. But at the end of the day, love family is the most important thing. Because when you get a house and you get all these different things, it's love that makes a house a home. And that's why I love A Bottle of You and A Bottle of You for Me, because they do everything as a family, and they always bring the dog.
Everyone has a puppy nowadays. You heard that here.
Yes. Yes.
Well, you always make me tell you, you know, every night how much I love her before we go to sleep. Because like you said, you don't know if that person next to you is going to wake up. You know, you go to sleep in the best health ever and still not wake up the next day. And I learned from our accident that there is no time to waste. That was one of the reasons, you know, that really made me get out here and snatch my wife up, put her in the car and say, look, whatever you need, I just buy it when we get to a Walmart or to a mall. And we're going to go out here and do the best we can and not spend hardly any kind of money.
But we're going to make it cheapest,
and we're going to make a trip, and we're going to make sure that we create some more family moments, that we also let everyone know about this Punch TV Studio $1 IPO. It was that important to me that if we were taken from this earth, that when my children, you know, our children, our home, our family was going to be taken care of. Not just our immediate family, you know, speaking of the children, but our parents,
our grandchildren,
you know, our grandchildren, our sisters, our brothers. I mean, we really put a lot into this. You know, we did our investments, but then we helped others do their investments. You know, sometimes I think about if we just took everybody else's shares that we either bought for them or gave them the money for, you know, whether it was family or not, what we could possibly do with those shares. I mean, I almost wished I bought 50,000 shares, you know, so that as this hurricane had taken place, you know, throughout our country, and seemed like it's going back around to the Gulf of Mexico again, talking about Hurricane Irma. They're believing she might come back down through Louisiana towards Galveston, Texas. And if that's the case, then she's probably going to swing back around to Florida on the way back out towards the Atlantic Ocean. If that front actually pushes it through. Currently right now, the front is pushing it southward back to the Gulf of Mexico where it's going to rebuild. But, you know, it's reasons like that that make me and my wife get out here and do what we do. I mean, we were even talking last night trying to figure out, you know, we got a whole upstairs that we're not even using, and we was trying to figure out how we can utilize that. And, you know, this happened once before with Katrina, where we had considered the same options.
Of
taking in a family, you know. I'm at the point now where I think I'm just going to have a ranch hand come in, you know, whether that be a family or not or whatever, but I'm not hardly there ever to take care of the property.
No, we're not. But the one thing that did stop us with Katrina is I had young kids. And you can't be too careful when you have young kids bringing someone else into the house. Now that the kids are grown, we are really considering helping out a family. Because there's no place like being someplace safe and knowing that your family can rest after a tragedy.
Yeah, we just said we would put you know, a stair unit up to upstairs and just have them come in, you know, going into their own part of the house so it wouldn't interfere with us whether we were home or not. But at least, you know, if someone was there, you know, they could maintain the property, you know, and stuff like that. You know, I guess maybe as a part of, you know, their safety there. I guess they would want to make sure no snakes come out. You know, snakes in North Carolina don't ever seem to hibernate. They don't ever seem to go away.
And we do have alligators.
Yeah, we do have alligators.
Close to the water.
And they like to talk to you, so.
But,
I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. It's been a very whole week. It's a very emotional week. You know, we talk about, you know, us disabled veterans talk about, you know, our traumas and triggers. And this week for a lot of Americans has been a trigger just in regards to 9/11. And those triggers, I think, have been magnified because of the worries of all family members throughout the United States dealing with Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma, the flooding, the fires, lack of power, the earthquakes. This has been a very unique month since the eclipse.
And I would encourage everyone to pay a close attention to our Earth to our weather, to our animals and how they're responding, because they'll let us know first what's safe and what's not.
Absolutely. And you heard it here. This has been... Absolutely. So this has been an emotional change in the conversation, if nothing else. So you never know what you're going to get on Change the Conversation with Punch TV Studios. Until next time, until tomorrow, we are out.
Thank you for listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Tune in Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time as we continue to change the conversation in contemporary media. To be a guest or to share your thoughts on changing the conversation, visit Nabooki.com today. Don't miss out on the opportunity to be a part of the company that's revolutionizing media. Visit PunchTVStudios.com to become a part owner at $1 per share.